This is Matt. I'm the lead pastor at Westminster Baptist Church. Thanks for engaging God's word with us. My prayer for you is that this would be supplemental to your discipleship journey. If we can connect you with a local church or discipleship group, please contact us at info@discoverwbc.com.
We endure the cross because we know the crown is coming. We know Friday's not the end because we know Sunday is coming. And since Sunday is here, we can look at the joy that is before us and endure whatever cross we face today, knowing that our God is with us. As Hebrews would say it in Jesus' life, it says it like this: for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that lay before him, he knew what joy he was securing and would one day have again. So he endured the cross, the pain, the rejection, the shame, the death, so that we could have the joy that he had. He endured the pain of the cross. Today, you are enduring some form of a cross. My question for you is, what cross are you enduring? Is it a cross that will lead to life, or is it a cross that will lead to death? Because of Jesus, we have a cross that leads to life. It's so countercultural, so upside down kingdom, so different than what this world has for us. And yet in Christ, we have life because of his death. That's the way the Father worked this out. And so today we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And as we do, I want you to know a little backdrop to this. In the Roman world, they would give out these things called victor's crowns to those who were victorious in athletics or in war. These were the greatest warriors and the greatest athletes. Those athletes would have to train to prepare for their athletic event to the point where many times they often would give up their own life just to secure this crown. They would die in training. Warriors would die on the battlefield. People were willing to give up their life for the crown. And today, I want to ask you, what crown are you giving up your life for? What cross are you willing to take so that you can receive a crown? In the Roman world, there was a crown for victory in the athletics. In the Christian world, there is a crown for taking up your cross. So what cross have you taken up? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, we look back at Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, let us consider one another. Let us run with endurance. So let us have hope. Let us hold on. And it also says for us to draw near to God. Let us draw near. That's Hebrews 10. And if you look at it, what he's doing as he comes to Hebrews 12 is he is giving us an illustration of that very sermon. Let us consider one another. Let us draw near to Christ and let us hold on. So I want to show you first in verse 1 where it says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. This is the beginning of an illustration that is going to revolve around athletics, specifically around running. As I said, in the Roman world, they would have a victor's crown. It came for three different athletics, basically: running, wrestling, and boxing. Paul likes to take up the metaphor of running. Maybe he ran. We don't exactly know if he was a runner. We know he was a little struggled with walking, so we're not sure if he was a runner or if he just liked using this metaphor because he loved the idea of a race. I like to think of him as a runner, though, because of what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10. Regardless, the point is this. The cross is your race. Are you enduring? What is the race that you have before you, and are you enduring? And it starts with, we have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So I want to paint a picture for you of that. This is what that looks like. If you could think about like Roman world or even our day today, and you think about a huge stadium, what was happening on the field was had spectators around them cheering them on, rooting them on. the way you can view this is you have a cloud of witnesses, which came from Hebrews 11, as we looked at last week, like Noah and Abraham and David and Rahab, all of them watching and rooting you on. Let's go. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Continue the race that is before you. Not only do we have them who are our spectators, but we also have those in this room. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are together in this. We're not giving up. We're fighting together, not against each other. We are in the stands encouraging one another. We're not in the stands going, you're the worst. You can't do this. You're going to lose. Who's in the stands for you? Who's the great cloud of witnesses that are around you going, you got this. I know you're stumbling. I know you've tripped up. I know you've messed up. I know you're broken. I know your cross is hard, but don't give up. Don't back down from what is in front of you. Look at this. Look at what it says. It says, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. That means that we're all in the stands going, you got this. Don't let that hinder you. Don't let it stop you. Don't let that sin make you struggle to where you trip up and you fall down. Keep going. Keep running. Don't back down. The words here are used in Greek in the Roman culture. They would have read this knowing what he was talking about. The great cloud of witnesses was a representation of the spectators around an event that were watching an event. When it says, let us lay aside, every athlete knew at that time, and the Romans knew right before a big event like the Olympics for them in their day, right before a big athletic event, they would train for months in really intense quarters and situations. And what they would do is, I know it's kind of weird, they would train without clothes. They would let us lay aside the hindrances because they thought that clothes would trip them up, hinder them. They thought that it would make it where they couldn't run the race that they were supposed to run. In other words, there was hindrances that would ensnare them. And so the point is this, you have a race that lies before you. The cross that Jesus says to take up is in front of you. Don't let sin hold you back. Don't let things hinder you from doing what God has called you to. Don't grow weary. And so we have spectators around the event, around your life, around your race, around your cross going, you could do this. And the author knows, man, the author knows that Satan's just around the corner like Peter with Jesus when he says, no, Jesus, you're not going to Jerusalem. You're not taking up your cross. And the author of Hebrews knows, and that's what Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11 is all about, is Satan is on the spectator too, and he's getting down on the field with you going, you can't do this. Trade that crown for something else. Don't go through that race. Don't go through that cross. Let me show you a better crown. And he says it to Jesus. Let me show you, Jesus. You could have this whole world and all the dominions if you just take up this crown, and the world wants you to take up a different crown. But this passage says this. It says, let us run with endurance. What? The race that lies before us, not Satan's race. God's race for you. The cross that lays before you. There's peace and hope in that cross, and there is destruction and death in the cross of Satan. And he wants you to take up that cross. He wants you to think that your best crown is when you achieve the American dream. He wants you to think that your best crown is making a certain financial investment. He wants you to think that your best crown is by achieving some form of sexual pleasure. He wants you to think that this world has some kind of crown that is better. But Jesus took death on a cross that you might have the crown of life. Satan wants you to have the crown of death. My hope for you this morning is that you will take up the cross of Jesus that he has given you so that you can have the crown of life that he has won for you. Would you run with endurance the race that lies before us? Typically in this, in church setting, I like to share with you my failures. I like to share with you my failures because I want you to know that I'm not perfect, that I'm a pastor who is broken and struggled to, that I'm in desperate need of grace of God and the Spirit to empower me to do what God has called me to do. I'm fighting a battle just like you are. We're fighting together and we're not alone in this battle. We need one another. And so I want you to know I need you just as much as you need me. We're fighting together. And as we fight together, I want to update you on a little bit of a story of my life. As you know, I've already shared with you, so I'm not going to go into detail. I had at one point what's called Lyme's disease. If you've had it before, you know a little bit about the effects of it. If you do have it and you struggle with it, here was my experience, just a little bit of it. I was on the floor one day, just desperately in pain, struggling and hurting and broken and almost just finished with it. I'm just done. I didn't feel like I'd ever get up again. I thought I was just done. And I remember typing, I was working on my doctoral paper, and I can remember just like not being able to get up. 2020, I was pastor of this church. Just like, God, what are you doing? This is like the worst. I don't know how to endure. I don't know how to fight through this. I remember all those things. I remember thinking this, I will never be able to do anything athletic again in my life. And a year later or so, many different tests and health things and all this stuff, I got to a doctor, and the doctor looked at me and said, look, you're always going to hurt from Lyme's. Lyme's is always going to affect you. The only thing you can do is live as healthy as you possibly can. I said, okay, I'm going to try to eat right. I went vegan. That was crazy. I tried to run. I ended up getting hurt. There was a bunch of trips along the way. There was a bunch of stumbles along the way. There was a bunch of difficulties along the way. But I remember about 8 months ago, one of my best friends, Garrett, inspired me. And I remember just like through the months, he just didn't let me stop. He encouraged me to keep going. He encouraged me to keep battling. He gave me resources. He led me to scripture. We both kept clinging onto the scripture to keep going. And I remember in my mind thinking this, and I'm just being raw with you, okay? I remember thinking in my mind, I'm going to run as far and as fast as I can to the point where I hope that at some point some doctor goes, yeah, there's something wrong with you, because I have to stop. Maybe they find something in my heart or in my head or something going on, because the pain of Lyme's and the frustration of the brain fog and all that stuff that went along with Lyme's, I was like, I'm done, God. I knew the race that was before me as a pastor and as a Christian and as a dad and husband. And I knew that race that lied before me, but I'm like, I can't do this, God. I don't have the energy or the mind to even think. I can't even look at people's eyes. This is just hard. God, what do you have? And I remember just saying, I'm going to do whatever I can do to steward the body that God has given me well, to be healthy as I can possibly be so that I can do what God has called me to do. I'm just going to do it. So I kept going and going. You know what happened to me a couple weeks ago? I was like, ha, I am broken. What's wrong with me? My parents are like, you should probably go to the doctor. Yeah, 18 miles in, I'm losing my eyesight. There's a big black line in my eye. And I'm like, just done. Like physically, I'm like, okay, something's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? And so Garrett, you know, Jason, like, get me home safely. And yesterday, I'm weeping on the phone. I still can't even share it. I'm weeping on the phone with my dad. And it's a whole journey of your life, man. But when yesterday, Garrett and Jason didn't give up on me, the brothers and sisters didn't give up on me. And I want to share with you a victory, because I want you to know you don't have to give up. Even when life throws difficulties at you and you stumble and you struggle and the race looks too difficult and the endurance looks too hard. And look, this isn't about what I've accomplished, but I want to tell you that I was able to run 29 miles yesterday. And here's why. Because many of you in here have been praying for me. Many of you praying for my health, for me to be able to do what God's called me to do and be able to accomplish what God's called me to accomplish. And here's why I tell you all of that. Don't give up on yourself. If whoever the author of Hebrews is can use this as an illustration of your life spiritually, I want to tell you today, don't give up. Don't stop fighting. Don't back down. Don't let people tell you you can't do it. Keep going. Don't grow weary. Stay strong, steadfast. Don't back down from the devil. Keep fighting. You are warriors in Christ, athletes that have been raised up to fight the battle. If we don't, who will? The church is God's warriors fighting a battle, strengthened by his strength, with a sword, with a breastplate, with all that you need to be able to accomplish what he's called you to do. Don't back down. Dads, you can't give up. Moms, don't give up. Kids, keep raising up in Christ. Don't back down. Young adults, they're going to come after you. They're going to make you think that something better is out there, that a crown is better out there. It's not. God has a plan for you. God has a race for you. God has a cross for you. Don't back down. I'm telling you, with tears in my eyes, talking to my dad, it was because I thought I'd never be able to do it again. I thought I'd never be able to achieve what I wanted to in dreams and relieve the health problems and the struggles and the pain and the brain fog and the stress that comes with it and the doctor bills and trying different health things. I thought I'd never be able to do it. But in God's grace, he's not done with you. I don't know what your race is. It's a silly run. Goodness gracious, it's 20 miles. Who cares? It's nothing compared to this. God has a race for you that is far greater than some silly run. God has a race for you that is so good, so much better. Guys, you got to be the husband God's called you to be, the dad God has called you to be, the friend that God has called you to be, the spectator in the crowd cheering your brother on, cheering your sister on. We are the spectators that are like, don't give up the great cloud of witnesses that see it going on. And let me tell you something. When that author thinks about how are you going to get through this race of life, this hard, difficult thing, you know what he says? He says, remember your crown. He says it like this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the prize. He's the prize of your race. He's the prize of your cross. He's everything. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He perfects your faith. He perfects your life. And it says this, it says he endured. He not despising the shame, not letting his fear of rejection or fear of pain overwhelm him to the point where he wouldn't take the cross for you. He endured. And you know why he wants you to look at Jesus? You know why the author wants you to look at Jesus? Because you're running a race like Jesus, because you're going to take up your own cross. And I want you to think about this. When you're running, remember Jesus has already run. Jesus has already run the race. Don't give up. He's in front of you. Keep going. Don't back down. Don't stop. Don't slow up. Don't be hindered. Don't be tripped up. Don't let sin try to grab your feet and stop you. And remember, there's a group of spectators watching you and encouraging you, and you fix your eyes on Jesus, and you don't back down from what God has called you to do. Don't let nobody stop you. Don't let their words, don't let their actions, don't let the devil, don't let an experience stop you. God is with you. Church, don't grow weary. Keep fighting. He says, he concludes this. He says, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is the resurrection. Jesus didn't just come from death to life. Jesus came from the cross to the crown. I want you to think about what that means right now. Let me read you a verse to contextualize this. Let me just show you what Jesus had just experienced 3 days earlier. Before the resurrection, this is what Jesus experienced. It says, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, here is the man. Here is the man. Not here's our God. Here is the man. Not here's our king. Here is the man. What Pilate wants them to think is, here's the man with a crown of thorns stabbed into his head and a purple robe on to make him look like a king. Guys, the world is not going to be easy. They're going to throw a purple robe on you and mock you. They're going to throw crowns of thorns in your head to stab you. They don't want you to succeed in what God's called you to do. The world's always going to try to deter you from what God has for you because the world is going to reject you. But don't give up. Jesus, with a crown of thorns on his head, dies and then raises from the dead with a crown of victory because he has the victor's crown. That's my God. Jesus, after 3 days, takes the crown, achieving it. And then you know what he does? In 5 different passages, he promises it for you. You know what? There's somebody in this room right now who feels defeated. You feel like you can't go. You feel like the race has been too hard. Maybe you feel like me. You're ready to give up. Maybe you feel like you just can't do it because you're not good enough. Maybe you feel like sin has just held you back too much. Like you're just not a good dad. You're not a good husband. You're not a good mom. You're not a good wife. You're not a good child. Maybe you feel like you're no good at your job. You're like, I'm done, man. And then you hear the stands roaring and everybody chanting, don't give up. Don't give up. Golly, man, y'all, what would it be like to hear Noah shouting out, Tim, don't give up. Matt, don't give up. What would it be like to hear Abraham shout out, Paul, don't stop. Rahab, Aletheia, don't give up. Dom, don't stop fighting. Man, what would it be like to hear the saints of old just shouting out your name? Stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't be tripped up. Don't let sin stop you. Keep going. It's worth the fight. It's worth the battle. That's Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Jesus sitting on his throne going, I endured, you can too. Resurrected as the Son of God, sacrificed as a lamb, sitting on his throne. Don't give up. I did it, you can too. And remember, I'm with you till the end of the age. That is resurrection. So as the band comes forward, I'm going to give you two gospel responses. First is this, what's your cross? Just simply put, what is your cross today? If you've misaligned your cross, if you've replaced the cross with something else, if you said, I'm going to take this journey, and that's not the cross that God has for you, I want to challenge you this morning to replace that cross with the cross of Christ. What does he have for you? As difficult as it may be, with as much pain and rejection and shame and from the world and a crown of thorns and the robe put on you to mock you, whatever it is, that cross is worth it because the crown of life is coming, James chapter 1 tells us. So this morning, what is your cross? What have you been called to bear? You specifically, what have you been called to bear? Not me, what have you been called to bear? That we need a cloud of witnesses around us, spectators around us going, you've got this, man. You've got this, girl. Don't give up. You've got this. What is your cross? That as you run around the track, run around lap after lap after lap after lap after lap, you're fixing your mind on Jesus and you're bearing that cross and you're like, I'm not going to give up because my eyes are fixed on Jesus who didn't give up and the crowd is roaring. Don't stop. Stay strong. What is your cross? And what is your crown? Because oftentimes your crown will dictate your cross because what you're trying to accomplish is going to dictate what you're willing to go through. Is your crown the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the victor's crown that comes from Christ? Or is it the crown that comes from this world? A crown, whatever crown that might be, where you say, I have finally accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. At the end of your life, when the last breath is taken, what are people going to bestow on you? Good job, you did it. Is it going to be people putting it on your head going, man, look at what all you had. Look at what all you did. Look at who you slept with. Look at what you accomplished. Or is it going to be Jesus? This is my son. This is my daughter. Giving you his crown. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray and let's worship. Father, because of your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and raised from the dead, we have life. And so this morning we respond by enduring our own cross, knowing that there's joy and hope there because the crown is coming. Father, would you not let us be hindered? Would you not let us take up sin that hinders us from following after what you have for us? I pray, Father, that you would raise up men and women throughout this room that would encourage one another to keep battling and keep fighting and not give up. That would never use words of harm to pull somebody down, but only would use words lifting people up. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a great cloud of witness. Let's run together. God, would you give us the strength? Would you give us the stamina? Would you give us the encouragement? Would you give us the words of inspiration? God, would you give us the spirit to inspire us to do what you've called us to do and not give up? We will not back down with your strength, God, with your spirit, but without you, we cannot do it. So, Father, would you work in this room to raise up spectators, athletes, warriors, waiting for the crown that you would bestow on us? We love you. We worship your sons. Amen.
You have any questions about the sermon or would like to know more about following after Jesus, please contact us and we would love to talk more about your relationship with Christ and how you can grow in your spiritual journey.